I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show. I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show. This is the Plant Yourself Podcast. I'm Howard Jacobson of plantyourself.com and the Big Change Program with Josh Lajani. This podcast is part of my mission to help you live a delicious and dedicated life. So this is a semi-episode. It's a quick bonus show today because Thanksgiving is coming up for those of you in the United States. And I have a special guest today who sent me her ebook, which has a wonderful title, which she will reveal during the interview. But it's 36 really delicious, beautiful-looking recipes for the Thanksgiving table. So given that we're about 3 weeks out from Thanksgiving, I thought I would rush this into the queue for a special Friday edition of the Plant Yourself Podcast so you can hear about Elspeth and her story and a little bit about the ebook, and you can decide for yourself if you want to get it and try it out. One quick announcement, if you'd still like to win a copy of Mercy for Animals, the drawing is still open. All you got to do is post a link to that episode, which is plantyourself.com/235, the episode with Nathan Runkle, founder of Mercy for Animals and also the author of Mercy for Animals. If you'd like to win one of those hardcovers, then all you got to do is post a link to it on somewhere in social media and then email it to me, hj@plantyourself.com. And for each post you do, you get one entry, and I'll just pick one at random somehow and send out a book to you. So I've got two books to give away, and I want to keep this going until next Tuesday to give everybody a full week to listen and then post it. All right, with that out of the way, let's talk about Thanksgiving. So without further ado, Elspeth Feldman, welcome to the Plant Yourself Podcast.
Thank you, Howard. It's absolutely wonderful to talk to you today. I'm very honored to be a guest on your podcast. I'm a huge fan of your work.
Thank you. Yeah, this is going to be like a quickie because we want to talk about this wonderful new ebook that you wrote. But in chatting with you before we started recording, I realized you've got a much bigger story, so we'll have to get you back if you enjoy the first time. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to being a plant-based cookbook author, and then we can go from there.
Thank you. So I grew up on a beautiful dairy farm in southern Africa in the country of Zimbabwe. And as a little girl, you know, growing up in the sunshine, we had a huge dairy herd. We named all the cows. And I remember pleading with my dad not to take the male calves to the abattoir for slaughter. But I'm sorry to say, even though we love the animals, I did not make any connection between the animals that we loved and the food that we ate. We grew up eating lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, but also a lot of, you know, beef and chicken and lamb and cheese, of course. My mother was a really great cook, and I loved being around her in the kitchen. We had beautiful vegetable gardens and lots of fruit trees. We had mangoes and guavas and lychees that grew wild all over our farm, and it really was, you know, a certain paradise for food. And, you know, mealtimes were always a very special part of growing up with meals at the table and fun conversations. But then in 1976, our lives turned upside down when my father, who interestingly enough was very interested in health and fitness, suddenly dropped dead of a heart attack. He was age 47 at the time, and he was playing squash and dropped dead. I was 9, so a young child, and at that time, the War of Independence, also known as the Rhodesian Bush War, was heating up. So things were very tense in Rhodesia, as it was known then. My mother continued to farm for a few years, but it became too dangerous. So she sold the farm, and we moved to the capital city of Harare, known as Salisbury back then. And this was a huge transformation. My mother got an office job, and I quickly learned how to make meals from scratch. So by the age of about 12, I could confidently make a roast chicken and roast potatoes and vegetables and dessert and all the trimmings, simply because I'd seen my mother do it. I then, spent a couple of years after high school backpacking through Europe and Australia and working different jobs along the way. One of my favorite jobs actually was picking oranges and olives on the rugged island of Crete, where I'd lived for 6 months, trying to escape my first European winter. We tended to live hand to mouth in those backpacking days, and I would end up eating 15 or 16 oranges in a day, and eat whatever the farmers brought out to the fields during lunchtime, which was very much a Mediterranean diet. So lunch would be feta and sardines and cucumbers and tomatoes and things. And then I'd met my husband in my early 20s in London when I was working there, and he's American. I ended up moving to the States and started eating a lot more processed foods, but I still prepared fresh foods every day and found my happy place in the kitchen. And then, my whole food plant-based journey really started when I was, when my very athletic son at age 15 decided to become vegetarian. And of course, I was fine with that because I was sure it would only last a week. But a year later, he was still vegetarian, and I was very concerned about where he was getting his protein. So I sat him down and insisted that he either pick steak or chicken or lamb or something. And he thankfully refused. So I decided to look more into this vegetarian thing.
Did you have any evidence at the time of his being in any sort of protein deficient state? Was he like lethargic or
Not at all. Not at all.
Limbs falling off.
He was on the varsity soccer team, varsity basketball team. He was, grades were good. He was a great kid. I had absolutely nothing, but I guess marketing reasons telling me that chicken, steak, and lamb were good.
Gotcha. So what did you do? How did you get to where you are now? Well, where you say thankfully he refused.
Well, thankfully he refused. So right about the time when I started to look into it, Forks Over Knives had just come out that year. So my husband and I actually watched it together and knew immediately that we needed to make some changes to our diet. So we both decided to try a vegetarian diet, because vegan would be way too extreme. So, but after a week of doing it, like anything that you start, you read and watch everything you can about it, and the scales simply fell off my eyes, and I knew that I needed to go vegan and didn't want or need to eat dairy or eggs. So I gave up meat right away, but it took a little while to completely give up all the dairy. I ate completely vegan at home, but I didn't want to be difficult when eating out at friends' houses or at restaurants. So I it probably took about a year and a half before I completely eliminated that and found my voice. And the more I learned, the easier it was to find my voice and say no. So that was easy.
Gotcha. And so, tell us about what you do now as part of your plant-based education, outreach, advocacy.
Early on as well, I did do the got my certificate in plant-based nutrition from E. Cornell, and then I started a website called thespeedyvegan.com, and I started putting some recipes up, doing some health coaching, teaching people how to eat plant-based, and make the transition. I love to cook, so I would get into people's kitchens and show them how to batch cook and prepare food, so that making the switch from a typical, you know, standard American diet to a plant-based diet would be easier. I've also sort of encountered a lot of times where it's been very frustrating. For instance, my elder brother just last month had quadruple bypass surgery at age 57, and, you know, realized that sometimes those that you love the most are the hardest to reach. So I've sort of taken the approach of, I guess, living by example and trying to just meet people where they are. I've learned that you really can't force anyone to make this lifestyle change. But like myself, I didn't see things as they were, you know, right before my eyes, you know, growing up with these animals I loved. So sometimes it just takes time or a different approach or a different message. So I hopefully can reach people that way.
Great. So you've just come out with this wonderful cookbook, and I love the title. So I want to give you the privilege of saying it.
Pardon My Turkey.
Pardon My Turkey. So it's an entire cookbook, a whole food plant-based cookbook around Thanksgiving. So what made you want to write this?
So at some point, my whole life, people have been saying, oh, you need to write a cookbook, you need to write a cookbook. And in fact, when I was 12 years old, I had this little black book that I used to carry around with me everywhere. And whenever I went to someone's house and tasted something I like, I would ask if I could write down the recipe. And I still have that little black book today. It's kind of fun with looking back through who gave me which recipe. None of them were plant-based, I'm sorry to say, but... and then about 10 years ago, I went to culinary school and learned the traditional methods of cooking with oil and butter and sugar and everything. But I've always been more of a instinctive cook and just use recipes as a guide. So learning to cook whole food plant-based was pretty easy with guidance and tips from, you know, people like Chef AJ on how to cook without sugar and oil and salt and things. But, you know, my happy place has always been in the kitchen. So friends and family have been asking me to write a book. And so for some time. So I thought, well, last summer I decided to combine my love of cooking and my concern for the animal welfare and put it all together in this collection of my family's favorite recipes for Thanksgiving to hopefully entice more people to pardon their turkeys for Thanksgiving.
So what specifically about Thanksgiving drew you?
Well, obviously I didn't grow up with Thanksgiving, and it was kind of a curious holiday for me to start with. You know, having pumpkin pie for dessert seemed strange, and cranberry sauce for during the main course. So a lot of strange things there. The turkeys you know, turkeys are way more intelligent than, and like most animals, like all animals really, they're just very intelligent animals. And I just felt that Thanksgiving was a holiday that was so centered around this one dish, the turkey. And I thought, well, maybe I can entice people to pardon their turkeys and have more compassionate food choices. So the recipes that I wrote, there are 36 really delicious recipes in the book, and this is a healthier take on even a vegan Thanksgiving, because most of the recipes are sugar, oil, and salt free. All of them are gluten free or can be made gluten free, and it's just a collection of the actual foods that I've always cooked. I have for the last six years. Made for Thanksgiving for my family.
Great. Now, so you've gone to culinary school. So the ebook that you sent me as a PDF is gorgeous. It's got, you know, beautiful professional photos. It's got you know, the cover has got like cartoon and very whimsical text on it. Did you also like go to school to become a graphic designer?
No, that the artwork is not my own. So this is a funny story. I mean, and also as far as culinary school, I didn't like go and complete culinary school. I took a bunch of classes there. And soon realized that this was well before I was plant-based, but the food was very traditional, very rich way of cooking. So I just sort of got the basics. And back to the book. So designing the book, I realized that the title was really fun and catchy. My husband loved it and had suggested that I find an artist to do an illustration. So I actually went to guru.com and put out a work order and got several people bidding for the job, and found an artist who I thought could capture exactly what I wanted to express. And she came up with some great drawings and hand-painted them and came up with this really beautiful cover. And then for the layout, I, again, used a professional on Guru to do the layout for me. So I can't take any credit for how the layout worked. I did the recipes and I took the photographs, but that was it.
And both of those designers are now plant-based, right?
Well, I hope so. I'm, you know, certainly did my part to encourage them. I think the illustrator, you know, was quite taken with a lot of the recipes. I think she had been plant-based along the way, but was hopefully going to go back and try some more of the recipes. So.
Right.
And
so
then last night, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was looking through the table of contents, and you know, just the titles are, and of course the photos are beautiful. You know, the butternut squash hummus and citrus fennel salad. Like just looking at these baked apples and stuffed acorn squash, green beans and almonds with a kick. You know, this just reading it puts me in the visual of like this gorgeous Thanksgiving table, the kind of thing that you could invite all your non-plant-based friends to, and they'll be angling for invitations for the next 20 years.
That's so funny because, you know, when we first went plant-based, I was very concerned about, you know, who was going to come to Thanksgiving now. Would they really come? And I've always sent out an invitation and let everybody know that we're going to be pardoning our turkey, but that they're welcome to bring turkey if they wanted. And thankfully no one's ever done that, and everybody's always left very satisfied and loved all the food, so I have no guilt about that. So.
Great. So I'm gonna have a link in the show notes to where people can find out more about the ebook and buy it themselves. How much is it, and you also are donating some of the proceeds somewhere?
Yes, so the book is $9.99. You can order it from my website, thespeedyvegan.com, or you can go to pardonmyturkey.com, which also links to the book. I'm donating 10% of all sales of the book to a local animal sanctuary called Poplar Springs. It's in Poolsville, Maryland. It's a beautiful 400-acre animal sanctuary that relies on public donations for support, so I'm supporting them.
Great.
And
go ahead.
I said there are a couple of photographs in the book of one of the turkeys on the farm. Her name is Mackenzie. So she's now a centerfold pinup girl in Pardon My Turkey cookbook.
I'm sure she's her plumage is radiant. Okay. So. I hope people will go and check it out and that lots of them will buy it and will support your work and the work of the Poplar Springs Animal Sanctuary. But for those of us who are just going to, you know, listen to this episode, you have a couple of tips for doing Thanksgiving, whether it's, you know, in culinary or behavioral or social or psychological, because I know a lot of people brace up before the holidays. What do you have some thoughts for us on just how to navigate more joyfully and skillfully?
Well, one of the great things about the recipes in the book is almost all of them can be made well in advance. So I like to take the tension out of the holidays. I think as a hostess, we take a lot on ourselves for, you know, having the house clean and perfect and the table set and the food just right. But I think what's important is you know, the time you spend with family and to just move ahead confidently. You know, if you burn something or something doesn't taste quite right, it doesn't really matter. You know, people aren't going to come away you know, worried about not having had the exact cranberry sauce that they grew up with. So I think it's important just to, you know, have fun, kick back, but most importantly, if you can, you know, use these recipes or other recipes you find, make stuff in advance so that you're not, you know, stuck in the kitchen on Thanksgiving Day doing everything last minute.
Right. See, what I took away from what you just said is that I should clean the house before the guests come. Which,
absolutely.
So, so okay, I wrote that down. Any thoughts on sort of navigating the social thing? If, you know, if because Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where people really get attached to their traditions. And if you're, you know, your recipes are highly traditional and yet they're also not. So how do you talk to family members and, you know, friends, and especially, you know, people who are going to be doing the cooking here may have been doing the cooking for decades and making the turkey and making the stuffing and doing all the stuff. And now they've discovered a different way. And like their identity is wrapped up in this old way. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So actually, my daughter and I taught a class last night at our local Whole Foods here in Annapolis, you know, with recipes from the book. And one of the slides that we had in our PowerPoint presentation was how to talk to Uncle Joe and Great Aunt Mary about Thanksgiving, sort of bracing people for the fact that when people realize that they are now plant-based, they're going to have all sorts of questions about, you know, where you get your protein and how you can, you know, possibly be living this lifestyle, et cetera. And also not making people feel bad if they, you know, choose to eat the way that they eat. So we just, you know, we sort of touched on the basics of, you know, how you get your protein. There is really nothing to be, you know, worried about, that, you know, our dietary preferences are obviously going to solicit a lot of questions and comments, and to just meet it with love and understand people's concern. So, you know, I think people are so used to eating one way that they haven't really considered doing anything different. So I'm hoping that you know, with some of these good recipes, people will go, "Wow, I didn't even miss that." So,
right. And, yeah, I guess I would try to dodge the whole protein question, like not great Thanksgiving conversation.
Just, it's, you know, not great.
Assure them that skipping, you know, that not having animal protein for one meal is probably not going to, you know, tip them over into kwashiorkor.
Yeah, exactly. But it will come up. I think it's, you know, it's better to just meet it lightheartedly. And what my husband did for the first, you know, several years was just you know, give the Rip Esselstyn comment of, yeah, it's just an experiment. You know, I'll see how I feel. You know,
right.
But that's, you know, the easiest way to let it roll off.
Excellent. So tell us once more where people can find the ebook.
It's at my website, thespeedyvegan.com.
So that's
the speedy vegan. Yes.
Thespeedyvegan.com. And or more memorably at
pardonmyturkey.com.
Great.
And I'm also, you know, I have a Facebook page and Instagram on The Speedy Vegan. And, you know, I'd love to support anyone and any questions that anybody has or suggestions. My husband and daughter have an idea in the works to maybe get a book related to Pardon My Turkey for a children's book for maybe next Thanksgiving, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And I encourage you via email to turn it into a hardcover book, because I, you know, when I have a PDF, it usually means the iPad is about to get wet.
Yes, I know. I noticed that a lot of people have asked me to look into doing a hard copy of the book. So I'm going to get on it. This is my first ebook. I've had a lot of fun with it. You know, it was definitely quite a discipline to write down all the recipes and to measure everything out and really think about what I was doing each step of the way. But it was a fun opportunity, and I'm really thrilled with how the book turned out. And I do hope that I can inspire more people, you know, to make compassionate food choices and pardon their turkeys this Thanksgiving.
Awesome. Well, Elspeth, thank you so much for putting in the work, for making it so beautiful, for not just, you know, throwing a bunch of recipes into a Word document, but really taking the time to make the book itself as beautiful as you hope people are going to make the meals, for being a friend and a supporter of this podcast, and for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Howard, for this opportunity. You've really inspired me, and your guests have inspired me to, you know, find my voice and do what I can to encourage more compassionate food choices. So thank you very much.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'll hope to get you back on for a longer talk about your journey and your advocacy. But for now, happy holidays, and thanks for taking the time today.
Same to you, Howard. Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this mini episode of the Plant Yourself podcast and you'd like to support the mission of the show, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more information about the Big Change Program led by me and Josh Lajani, visit bigchangeprogram.com. And be sure to check out the show notes for today's episode with links to that ebook and the other stuff we talked about at plantyourself.com/236. If you're new to the show, you can catch up on 235 archived episodes over at plantyourself.com. And if you get the podcast, but not the Big Change Bulldog, my weekly-ish newsletter, you can sign up and also get the Slippery Slope Report about how to avoid the slippery slope of sliding back into poor habits and poor food choices at plantyourself.com/slippery-slope. If you're looking to support the podcast in a cool and unusual way and you enjoy typing, then consider transcribing an episode. This will allow us to spread our advocacy to the deaf and hearing impaired, and also to provide a convenient format for everyone to consume the content. And I say this because we have a new transcript up, donated by Kelly Machia, and it's number 227, Brooke Goldner, whom, as you may recall, put her lupus into what looks like a pretty significant remission through a protocol that includes these very, very dense green smoothies in the morning. I've added them back in. A lot of people that I have talked to who've listened to the podcast have added them back in and are feeling amazing. And so thanks to Kelly, we now have a transcript at plantyourself.com/227. If you'd like to support the show in other ways, of course, you can always share this and other episodes on social media and via an email. You can write a review on iTunes. And I want to quickly share with you the two new reviews that I got this past week. Breed London writes, great variety of topics. Really liking Howard's podcast on a plant-based life. He really shows there's more to it than just not eating certain foods. The variety in topics means there is always something new to think about. Highly recommend a listen. Thank you so much, Breed London. An ordinary tourist from the United States says, very informative and inspirational. This review, ordinary tourist writes, is long overdue. I am a plant-based physician and first found out about this podcast from a vegan patient. I have listened to several episodes since then. I truly believe it has made me a better physician and a better person, have recommended it to several friends and patients. Howard and his amazing guests are truly inspiring. Keep up the good work. Wow, wow, wow. Well, that's warms my heart and makes me so happy. So thank you both of you for those wonderful, generous reviews. And if you're listening and you have not left a review yet and you feel like there's one overdue in you, please go to iTunes and do it. It really, really helps. And of course, the other way you can support the show is by going to patreon.com, finding Plant Yourself, and becoming an ongoing sustainer of the show. I'm up to almost $425 a month, which is just amazing and wonderful. And when I see that progress that we've made so far, I know that the community can stretch a little bit and get to the point where I'm not subsidizing the podcast at all through all the other things I'm doing, where it's simply a value-add service going out into the world that's getting recognized for the value that I'm providing. So I really look forward to that day when it becomes its own standalone break-even venture rather than something that I'm pouring my own time and money into more or less to sustain it. In garden news, I've begun making what I predict will be the world's ugliest set of compost bins. I'm using the plans from Will Bonsall's Radical Self-Reliant Gardening book. He was in podcast episode 224, and I'm not much of a carpenter, so this thing may be a little bit iffy, but that's how we learn. In running news, I'm getting back into it slowly. Yesterday I did 6 miles. I'm finding that I'm running in the afternoons now rather than the morning because I don't have a training plan on my calendar. So within a couple of weeks, the training plan for the March Marathon will kick in and I'll be back to early morning runs again. Okay, now to the thank you portion. Thank you to Will Ridenour for allowing me to use his beautiful song, Sabali Dawn, Dance of Peace. Check out willridenour.com for more of his beautiful Kora music. And finally, thank you to all you Plant Yourself podcast patrons, including Kim Harrison, Lynn McClellan, Anthony Disson, Brittany Porter, Dominic Marrow, Barbara Whitney, Tammy Black, Amy Good, Amanda Hatherley, Mary Jane Wheeler, Ellen Kennelly, Melissa Cobb, Rachel Burns, Christine Nielsen, Tina Sharp, Tina Ahern, Jennifer Ganofsky, David Vizek, Michelle X, The Mysterious, Elspeth Feldman, hey, Victoria Dolomanova, Leah Stoller, Alan Christensen, Colleen Peck, Michelle Andrew, Josina, Julian Roland, Stu Dolnick, Sarah Durkas, Ron the Circus, Kelly Cameron, Wayne Pedersen, Leanne Peterson, Janet Selby, Claire Adams, Tom Franzek, Jeanette Benham, Gila Lassert, David Donahue, Blair Seibert, Doro Navizov, Gio and Carolyn Argentati, Jody Friesner, Ruth Ann Funderburk, Misha Rose, and Michael Warbeck. The equally mysterious Tracy Z, Alicia Lemus, Rebecca Hughes, Val Linneman, Rhymes with Cinnamon, Nick Harper, Stephanie Holmes, Martha Bergner, Nicole Ramsey, Susan Ahmad, Molly Levine, The Inscrutable, Harry R., Susan Laverty, The Panda Vegan, Craig Kovic, Adam Scharf, Karen Burry, Heather Morgan, Ashley Corker, and Telly Machia, yay! Tian Norton, Bonnie Lynch of Plant Happy Oregon, Sabine Kurtzels, Nigel Davies, Marion Blum, Teresa Koble, Shell Rutledge, Julian Watkins, Breed O'Connell, Brian Sheridan, Shannon Hirschman, Kate Rolls, Linda Ayat, Julie Langholm, Hedegaard, and Isa Tuzinwa. I don't like the way I said Shannon Hirschman. I'm going to say that again. Shannon Hirschman, for your generous support of the podcast. That's it for this week. So as always, be well, my friends. Let's take this home with some gratitudes. First of all, thanks to Mama Earth. You have been so very, very good to me. Second, Will Ridenour donated the use of his beautiful song Sabali Dawn as the theme music for this show. You can find out more about Will's music at willridenour.com. Third, thanks to all the patrons of the Plant Yourself podcast for your financial support. You can read the names of all the patrons at any show notes at plantyourself.com. If you would like to become a patron to show your gratitude for the work I'm doing and help support it, you can do so at plantyourself.com/gift. That's G-I-F-T, all lowercase. And finally, I want to thank you, the listener, for making all of this possible, for giving me a reason to reach out to people, to have conversations, to edit, produce, publicize, all the stuff that I do is for you, so that we can continue to have conversations and continue to ripple out healing and transformation into the world.